Home Improvement Show, Sundays at 3 on WADK.
Welcome back to the open forum here on WEDK. 53 degrees in your hometown. We are looking at a pretty mild week here. And I feel bad for the Newport Skating Center giving these numbers out. But we have a high of 52 today. Nope, we have a high of 52 tomorrow. We have a high of 41 on Saturday and a high of 44 on Sunday. But it's going to be pretty cool at night. So check out NewportSkatingCenter.com for updates on hours and ice conditions. I know on Tuesday, next Tuesday, they are going to have Santa Claus. He got rained out because you would have been swimming with Santa last Tuesday. So this upcoming Tuesday, you will be able to meet Santa at the Newport Skating Center. And speaking of Santa, Santa is coming to the town. Let's see, tonight he's heading to the southeast end of the city. He is visiting the Point section. He will travel east. He will travel east of Spring Street to Bellevue Ave and Annandale Road. And from Memorial Boulevard to Ocean Ave. Also, Santa will be visiting the Point section, Bayside Village, and Rolling Green neighborhoods. And that is tonight. This is his last stop with the Newport Fire and Police Departments. Tonight from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So get out there on the road. Do not get on the road, but Santa will wave from his little truck there and say hello to you all in the Point section. If you don't even live there, just go down there. Find a safe spot to park and stand and say hi to him. Otherwise, Tuesday, you can see him at the Newport Skating Center down at the Newport Yachting Center. And back to our city talk today, kind of. We have Scott Wheeler, building and ground supervisor for City of Newport. He has been talking about the open space partnership. There's a lot of big words today, Scott.
Yeah.
a lot of things to remember. And I'll introduce her in case she wants to jump in here, because it's very... project crosses over a little bit, I should say, not very similar, but Jessica Walsh from Newport Health Equity Zone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, Scott, we were talking about, why don't you give the meeting again that's coming up over at the Pell School?
So January 28th, I believe at 6 o'clock, Suzaki is going to giving a full presentation on their sort of technical assessment, but also on the public survey results and the feedback that they've received. So They've done I've seen advanced of the presentation, and it really is, there's some startling results.
Do you think there is going to be, back in September, you got your grades for the parks, correct?
Sure.
And why don't you talk about those and just the different aspects of them?
Well, I mean, I was pleased for the most part, you know, Suzaki found that we are meeting a lot of national standards. There are challenges, but for the resources we have, I think the maintenance of the park and the condition of many of our amenities came out fairly well. We've got challenges. I mean, some of them were things like the safety surfaces on the playgrounds and ensuring that those are all fully handicapped accessible. So that's something we've been working really hard at. Some of those solutions are very expensive, so that's always a challenge. But all in all, you know, I think it turned out pretty well. I won't have to hide too much in shame on the 28th when they show the results.
Okay. So on the 28th, you get the results, and then where do we go from there?
Sure. So we still have, and we're going to be, the partnership's going to be seeking some funding. We've got the vision and implementation stage of this plan. So the partnership is continuing to fundraise to complete the final processes of the plan, and that's going to be a big effort. We are also, as part of this plan, we've been working very closely with the planning folks from the city and the firm that's been hired to update the comprehensive plan. So all of this data that Suzaki has gathered is directly going to the firm Matrix that's been hired to update the comprehensive plan. And so it's really an opportunity. We talked about how this is happening collaboratively at the same time as the health equity zone. It's also happening at the same time as the comp plan update. So we've really got an opportunity here to sort of put more meat on the bones of the comp plan update and ensure that not just the open space component, but the historic component, and the sustainability component of the comp plan, you know, really kind of matches the latest, greatest thinking as far as national approaches to addressing these needs. So So it was great timing. I would have hated to have seen the comp plan finish up and not have this all this great information from the open space plan work.
So how soon after these results are all in and this plan is put together do we see results out there, or do we see a difference of how our parks are managed or open spaces?
Well, I think we're already seeing some of the results. I mean, you know, one of the things is really about process. So now we're really trying to work when a group comes forward and wants to make improvements to the parks, where we've got really a big outreach program where we go through the Tree and Open Space Commission or the related commissions. We invite the public in. We do our best job to publicize it. So some of them is already. And it's influencing projects that are underway. We haven't stopped working during this process, but for example, we've got a project just about to go out to bid for Hunter Park to add pickleball courts and to make the playgrounds accessible. And it ties directly in with, you know, some of the deficiencies that we're seeing in the North End. So I think we've already been able to put some of the results to work in projects that are, you know, going out as soon as probably next week going out to bid in the case of Hunter Park.
Are some of our biggest opportunities in the North End around that Pell School area, the swamp, as you would call it?
Well, the swamp would be a little bit farther
okay,
south,
but the North End really has a lot of opportunities, so you probably really want to hear from those people out there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're falling short, to be honest, as far as participation on the North End. And we're falling short on getting enough young people. You know, we're looking for young adults and college-age students. You know, their input is really essential. You know, it's all about coming to consensus. And if we don't have everyone at the table, you know, we're really not able to get a consensus that we can all get behind.
Now, the way that they broke down the grades in the presentation in September, is that how you kind of manage the public services, where it's trees, grasses, shrubs, paths and sidewalks, playgrounds, and I can keep going here, sports fields and courts and overall maintenance?
Well, no.
Okay.
No. Well, I mean, it's just as likely that you'll find someone that spends day-to-day working on repairing plumbing in a building out there in a crisis, working on the football field. So one of the ways we've managed to continue to do more with less is really to cross train and really that the current collaboration with getting more involved in the school department. So one of the ways that we need to meet the needs of the public, we're cross training everyone to do everything, and so we were really trying to fragment work and really look at our parks and open space far more holistically, whether that's maintenance, whether that what we've been talking about is as far as programming. There, you can't just say, you know, we maintain the parks and it doesn't matter. It's up to someone else to figure out what happens in them. To make parks viable, we need to make sure appropriate things are happening, that the community is coming out and using them. They're not just something to drive by and look at.
Or walk your dog.
Or walk your dog through it, yeah.
Yes. All right, so Jessica, you have the Newport Health Equity Zone, and on the assessment survey you guys are doing, the number two is open space. How does that work with what the open space program is doing? That's a lot of open space.
So the Health Equity Zone's goal is to look at the overall health of two of our neighborhoods, the Broadway neighborhood, so sort of Washington Square North.
Okay.
So we're looking at those two neighborhoods because health disparities, health inequity, tends to overlap by neighborhoods. And so this trend, they began to see it nationally, where you know, places that have high rates of obesity also tend to have high rates of lead exposure, also have higher rates of violence. They just all tend to pile up in by zip code or by neighborhood. And so the health department wanted us to begin to think about how do we make healthy places. And so when we started thinking about that, open spaces are one key way, and more research is pointing to the fact that trees and open spaces really increase the health of folks who live near them. And the important thing is figuring out how do we get people to use them, appreciate them, and have what will entice people to go and use those open spaces.
Okay.
And so one of our, we have six different working groups looking at six different areas of health, but one area is open space. And so Scott sits on that working group. We also have the Aquidneck Land Trust as a partner, and they're very much involved in the open space process.
So you guys are working hand in hand, very much so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're trying to make sure that our processes, we have a very specific health focus, but there's a lot of ways in which the information we gather during our assessment will likely be useful for the folks doing the broader citywide open space plan, and vice versa. So we are looking for ways where if they're already collecting the data, we don't need to do it, and we will try to just share it so that we can get the most out of the resources that we both have.
All right, and the Newport Health Equity Zone Assessment Survey is looking at food and nutrition, open space, transportation, physical and emotional health, and social cohesion. We're going to learn a lot more about this from Scott and Jessica right here after the break. Open forum with W80K.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, the upcoming winter is looking like a repeat of last year. It's deja vu all over again, but maybe not for you. You call Travers Plumbing and Heating, right? If so, your home or business is already prepared for the cold New England weather ahead. Travers is here to make your winter toasty and comfortable. Their boiler technicians are the best in the business, and Travers offers both oil and gas-fired furnace service, seasonal maintenance, cleaning, and new boiler installations. Travers Plumbing and Heating offers 24-hour emergency service and free estimates. Are you a snowbird? Travers can winterize your property to prevent freeze-ups and interior pipe damage while you're away. Plus, their technicians apply the highest standards of professionalism to ensure a clean, safe work environment, so you'll always feel good about having them in your home. Call Travers Plumbing and Heating at 849-1505. Online at traversplumbinginc.com. One call really does do it all.
One call does it all. Travers Plumbing and Heating.
You know, Santa wasn't born yesterday, and over the years, he's come to realize a few things, such as, although a brand new recliner makes a great gift, it's not the easiest present to wrap, and it won't fit very well under the tree. But if that's not a problem, Santa knows that Ben's has a great selection of comfortable recliners in stock and on sale, just in time for the holidays. Santa's also found many other terrific gift ideas at Ben's that are a little easier to wrap or stuff in a stocking. Picture frames, coasters, lamps, novelty pillows, wine racks, porthole mirrors, clocks, model sailboats, cocktail and party accessories, and hundreds more cottage and coastal accessories. Visit Ben's and learn what Santa already knows. There's always something new at Ben's. 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5, Thursday through Saturday, 9 to 6, Sundays, noon to 5. Free parking in the Mary Street lot or behind the store.
Block Island is a place of beauty and tranquility, no matter what the season. Want an escape from the ordinary? Visit BlockIsland.com and plan a trip. Block Island, close to home, a world away. Go to BlockIsland.com.
Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gig for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for $40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid port in. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16, savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantilli, your fresh grocer. And today's tip of the day is going to be with a staple in the produce industry that I haven't gave a tip about in a long time because you take it for granted. The green onions, you know, green onions or scallions, it's really the same thing, have been around forever. And the displays are large in stores because if you like to cook like I love to cook, the green onion is so versatile. You can use it in so many different ways. You can cook with it, you can add it raw to salads, Well, just think about all the versatility that green onions have. But you really do have to select them and store them right. When you select them, you want to make sure that the bunches are big, because they're sold by the bunch, green onion bunches, then by the pound. You want to make sure they're nice and long, very important, and the green has to be green, and the white has to be very white. Here is the key, make sure they're nice and straight. When they're straight, that means they are fresh. So if you want more tips and recipes on green onions, just go to TonyTantillo.com.
What a morning.
Bob Zumpa and the WADK Morning Report.
Every day I listen, I learn.
Your hometown information station, 1540 WADK.
Welcome back. Open Forum here on a Thursday. Hope you are all having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Again, if you missed any part of the show, you can catch the podcast on WADK.com. Any single show you can find on there. You can find some of Dave's shows still on there, as well as my own. All three of them are all up there. And again, you can, if you're on the run, you can listen in on the TuneIn radio app, WADK.com, or there's a thing in your car called a radio, and you just hit the AM button, and 1540 AM, you can find it right there, and you can listen to live local programming from almost 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. every single weekday. And on the weekends, we have some great programs as well. So we have Scott Wheeler here from the city of Newport. He is the building and ground supervisor. And we have Jessica Walsh from the Newport Health Equity Zone. And let's see here. For the Newport Open Space Survey, you're going to go to newportopenspace.org. And then, Jess, where do people go to take your survey?
There's a on the website, NewportHealthEquity.com, there's a link right at the top on the banner and also on our Facebook page.
So before the break, you were talking about a lot of the opportunities that you are working on. Actually, the zone that you're working on is everything north of Washington Square?
Yes. Yeah.
So kind of the north end of the city. And we were talking earlier today, Scott, or just a little while ago, that there is a lack of parks and open spaces in the north end zone. So the two must tie together, that there is a need for more healthier options and more attention drawn to food and nutrition in the north end because of the lack of open spaces. Am I assuming there?
No, you're absolutely correct. And the projects align really well. You know, for example, the Suzaki is able to pull the census data and compare that with national standards to look at what there should be. But as I said, we're having some problems getting as full survey results as we'd like from the North End. Jessica's work, you know, they've got drilled down and they're organizing focus groups and individually meeting with people and getting very personal and working with them to get feedback. I think there's just a perfect collaboration where we will be able to provide the large picture national-based data, and their group is going to be able to lend to us a lot of the individual personal interactions and input. So they really it's great timing.
And Jess, when does your survey go until? When does that expire? The Newport Open Space one is until tomorrow.
Yes.
And then how about yours?
So is ours.
Okay, so people have a lot of surveys to take.
That wasn't even on purpose.
And they're both about 5 minutes or 10 minutes?
Yeah, ours is a little bit longer. It takes about 10 to 12 minutes to complete. But people can enter to win a gift card complete it. So if it gets to the end, we're going to do a drawing early next week.
And now is yours only for North End residents?
Anyone can take it, but we are especially interested in getting feedback from folks who live anywhere north of Washington Square.
I started taking it, and some of the questions in the food and nutrition part of it was, where do you shop? Do you walk to your supermarket? You were talking about some of the concerns during the break about that you've been hearing from residents, old and young, from the North End. Can you share some of those?
Sure. So we were just at the very beginning. One of the most exciting parts for us about this project is we've hired 14 residents to work on the project with us.
Good
so
job.
We have 14 folks who live in these neighborhoods and are helping us to one, decide what questions need to be asked of peers and, you know, other residents in the neighborhood. And then they're helping us to get people to focus groups, to get people to take the survey. So we're really excited about that, and I think we're getting some really quality feedback that otherwise we would have struggled a little bit more to get. So some of the things we're hearing, you know, and this is hot off the presses and not yet officially
it's all right, nobody's
all
listening, just go ahead.
But we hear a lot that the sidewalks, for example, are dangerous, they're too narrow, they're incomplete. So people, Malbone Road, for example, is a way that people that are living on north of Admiral Kalpas cut through to get to downtown. There's no sidewalks, so people are walking in the road. There are places where this mother was telling us a story, and you're laughing, but it's also not funny. She's saying how when she has to take the kids to the store, they have to make like a train because the sidewalks are only wide enough for them to walk single file. So it's like her and her three kids, and then the father's in the back. So those are things that make it really hard for people to, and then picture going back after the grocery store, and you're like carrying bags and managing your children who you can't see because you have to walk in a straight line. And so those are some like things that I know the city is thinking about, but we're able to get some really kind of qualitative real life experiences from
folks. And it's not even just the adults, the kids that you were saying this morning.
Yeah, so we talked to some students this morning, and what's interesting is we've heard it in every student focus group we've done, or young person, you know, young folks, they want more ways to bring their community together. So they want activities in the parks that will encourage families to go and use the parks. They want things to get their community out and engaged. And I think we often think of young people stereotypically as like being stuck to their video games or being stuck to their phones. And in every group we've talked to, and we've probably talked to close to 50 kids at this point, between middle school and high school, and it has come up at least once where they desire more cohesion in their neighborhoods. They desire more that brings our neighborhoods together, and the parks can play a really important role in that.
Now, Scott, if you build it, won't they just come?
we were talking earlier about how important it is to activate your public spaces. And one of the challenges when we look at the North End and sort of some of our recreational programs, it's not just about building the play field. It's ensuring that there's a coach and there's parents involved and there's a whole support structure behind that. Because it's not, if we were to build beautiful facilities all over the North End, it doesn't stop there. We've got to make sure that there's lots of great things happening in those spaces. You can take the smallest little space. I like to talk about when the farmer's market, we were looking desperately trying to find a place to put the farmer's market. We wanted some place in the center of the city. We wanted some place by highly visible that was near public housing. And we threw out, well, what about Memorial Boulevard Parkway? That was always just a place people walked by.
Yeah.
But if you go down and it's just like any market in any thriving city anywhere in the world, it's an incredibly vibrant space when that farmer's market. So if you can take the roadside of Memorial Boulevard and make it a place that people want to gather and come together, it's a great thing. So what we want to do is, whether it's Myitkyinomi Park or Queen Anne Square or following on the great work that they're doing in Ballard Park, we want to find ways to activate all of our parks so that they can really meet the needs of our citizens.
This is fun. I'm having a great time, and we are just flying through the show. When we come back, we're going to dive more into this. We're going to revisit the websites, where to get for more information. You need to take the survey. This is your chance to, you don't need to, but you should take the survey. This is your chance to actually give them feedback. When they are going through and making changes and coming up with plans and things like that. We'll talk a lot more about that here on the Open Forum with Ryan Belmore on WADK.
As the all-important holiday season approaches, remember to think, shop, and buy local. Stay tuned to hear about one of our fine community businesses.
Hi, it's Judy from Island Books, Wyatt Square and Spring Street. We offer personalized selection and service. From our carefully chosen titles and knowledgeable staff to free gift wrapping and quick turnaround on special orders, there's no reason to shop for books anywhere else. Visit us online at islandbooksri.com.
Remember, your purchase does make a difference in the local economy. Think, shop, and buy local this holiday season.
season's greetings from your friends at Savings Institute Bank and Trust. We send our wishes for a joyous holiday season to all our customers and their families. May your celebrations be safe and best wishes for a happy new year.
Brick's Restaurant at the Newport Vineyards. Celebrate the holiday season with their $29.95 vine-to-table dinner menu, offered Tuesday through Thursday. Also available for daytime private events. Bricksnewport.com.
Hey, it's Pete.
And it's Manny from Newport Propane.
Hey, Pete, is it true Newport Propane has been in your family since 1959?
That's right. We are in our third generation now, and we want you to be part of our family.
Give us a call at 401-847-6878 or click on to NewportPropane.com, and you will see why Newport Propane is Rhode Island's highest quality propane dealer with excellent customer service and spot-on installations for all your propane needs.
So log on to NewportPropane.com or call 401-847-6878.
Imagine yourself as a student at the Community College of Rhode Island. Choose CCRI for the next step in your education. It's a smart choice.
Choose CCRI for its convenience.
There are locations near you in Lincoln, Newport, Providence, Warwick, and Westerly.
Choose CCRI for personal attention.
The college offers one-on-one advising, small class sizes, and courses taught by professors, not teaching assistants.
Choose CCRI for Rhode Island's best value for higher education. With the lowest tuition in the Ocean State, you can't afford not to come to CCRI.
Choose CCRI today to change your life and achieve your dreams. The Community College of Rhode Island, the smart choice for a high-quality education.
Apply now for spring. Classes start January 25th. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Visit ccri.edu/spring or call 401-825-2003 to learn more.
As the all-important holiday season approaches, remember to think, shop, and buy local. Stay tuned to hear about one of our fine community businesses.
Hi, this is John Callahan inviting you to stop by Bellevue Wine and Spirits this holiday season for all your wine and spirits needs. We'll help you make the perfect choice, whether it's wine for the holiday table, a gift basket including fabulous cheese from Milk and Honey, or champagne to ring in the new year.
Remember, your purchase does make a difference in the local economy. Think, shop, and buy local this holiday season.
WADK.com, WADK AM 1540, and Corrigan Financial bring you another season of high school and college basketball action. Join Bob Angel and John Diaz for the play-by-play from all three Aquidneck Island high schools, as well as Salve Regina University. Brought to you by
Midtown Oyster Bar, A1 Roofing and Construction, O'Brien's Pub, Newport Insurance Agency, Salve Regina University, West Main Pizza, Clements Marketplace, Newport Propane, Renew Salon and Spa, Gary's Handy Lunch, and by Corrigan Financial.
Does holiday shopping in stores increase your risk of identity theft? Yes. Shopping puts personal information out there, and big retailers have been breached. Does shopping online increase risk? Yes. Online shopping leaves a trail of personal information behind. Does giving fruitcake as a gift increase risk? No. It's not very original, and the fruitcake may never get eaten, but it won't increase risk. Holiday shopping and using Wi-Fi over an eggnog latte at the coffee shop will. That's why LifeLock does more than free credit monitoring services to protect you from identity theft. We have proprietary technology to detect a range of threats. And if you have an identity problem, we have a U.S.-based team of specialists who work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at every business. But with LifeLock, you can shop till you drop and feel better protected. Even if you do buy the fruitcake again. Right now, enjoy 10% off your membership as our gift to you. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code NEWS.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, one of this year's hottest tech toys may be too hot. Lots of kids asking mom and dad to get them a hoverboard this holiday season. These self-balancing motorized boards look kind of like a Segway scooter, but without the handlebars. They recently made waves in New York, where riders could face up to a $500 fine if caught with them out on city streets. But now, reports of spontaneous combustion.
I cannot believe this, y'all.
An Alabama man showing how it happened on a YouTube video.
It is on fire. It just blew up.
And in Louisiana, Jessica Horn gave one to her 12-year-old son just before Thanksgiving. But when he tried to charge the board's lithium battery, it lit up.
Both wheels, it was like a firework, like you just lit a firework. I seen sparks just flying. And before I could yell, the house is on fire, it just the middle part of the board that would go in between your feet just poof into flames.
Their home was destroyed. An investigation is underway. With Tech Trends, I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Join us weekdays at 2 for the Clark Howard Show for help with your finances, your bills, your money on 1540 WADK.
All right, welcome back to the Open Forum here on a Thursday. Ryan Belmore, I keep wanting to say sitting in because I filled in for so many hosts. Not so many hosts, but over the last year I filled in for Dave and Bruce. But nope, I am here with you every single weekday from 12:30 to 2 and online, WADK.com. Being joined today, talking about our opportunities around the city, surveys about the city, with Scott Wheeler, Building and Ground Supervisor for City of Newport, and Jessica Walsh from Newport Health Equity Zone. Jessica, what's your title? I don't have it written down. Do you have a title? Everybody should have a title.
Yeah, I'm actually the Director of Prevention at the Women's Resource Center. But the Health Health Equity Ooh. Zone is coordinated out of the Women's Resource
All
Center.
All right.
But it's a large collaborative. We have lots of partners.
Look at that. There's a lot going on there. So we've been talking about the opportunities, you know, with this survey and citizens and you guys identifying the opportunities that we have throughout the city with open spaces. We come up with a plan. What does it take to get done, Scott? Is it, you know, how much of the opportunities that get sent out there, you know, will actually, if a large amount of people say we need a sidewalk on this street, you know, how do you divvy up what is actually going to be done from all these results?
Well, I mean, certainly it's wonderful to have those type of results. I mean, I was mentioning to Jessica during the break that we had a meeting just yesterday with city staff, and we were talking about needs for sidewalks and sidewalks improvements in many of those same areas. So it certainly helps tremendously to have community feedback to show that, you know, we're pointing in the right direction, and the council can have some confidence that these are projects that the public wants funded. Because, you know, in the end, you know, we're all working for the constituents. We want to do what the taxpayers are asking for and what's going to benefit them the most. So information is key.
How do you see a lot of this getting funded? Is it through the city council budget, or is it possible for grants and things like that?
Well, you know, this really is all about partnerships with donors, foundations, grants. You know, the reality is we're not going to do much just with taxpayer resources. Whether it's, you know, daffodil project and planting daffodils to beautify the city, or, you know, finding a way to replace Rogers High School running track that's no longer functional. We need partners for all of those projects. So This really is about creating a vision that what the city and the community wants, but also it's hopefully leading to you know, what we should be seeking funds for, and you know, donors, when they're looking forward, they can have faith that this is the number one project that the community wants.
And you see this as a 10-year plan, 20-year plan, 50-year plan, or just how we move forward every single day here in Newport?
Well, as I said, we're still trying to implement some of the Olmsted plans from
1913.
So, hopefully it won't be another 100 years before we have a full open space plan. You know, I really would love to see this followed up with more intensive management plans about, you know, all of our key parks and open space. So we really would going to be working for, you know, the best practices, drilling down even further. We've got some really big challenges coming forward. We were talking earlier about Grover Fugate's presentation and what's going to be happening in Newport with sea level rise. So we need some really solutions.
And it is unbelievable, the projected impacts of climate change on Newport. And from this report, you know, rising temperatures, winter climate more like northern Georgia, fewer freezing nights here in, is this just new? It's just for Newport, right? It's not just all Rhode Island.
we're facing it everywhere. I mean, sea level rise isn't something theoretical. We're dealing with it in King Park. Our salinity levels in the soils have gone through the roof to the point where we can't grow grass in portion of King Park because sea level's rising. you know, whether it's whether this fall is global warming or what, but hey, we still have the restrooms open at the Cliff Walk because it's been so warm we just haven't been able to justify closing them.
Would you look at that?
It's something unusual.
And some of the other impacts I just thought were interesting. Rhode Island is the 16th fastest warming state, and more heavy downpours. Rhode Island leads nation with 76% increase since 1950 in heavy downpours, and potential for 12 to 16 inches by 2035 and 5 to 7 feet of sea level rise by 2100. So you have to take all of this into account when you're making future plans for King Park or whatever public park it might be.
It's not just about, you know, we can't sort of build our way out of this problem by building ever higher seawalls. It's not just water coming in from the ocean. It's dealing with all of that runoff, trying to make Newport more of a great big sponge that'll slow that water and soak that water in. So it's a complicated problem. Parks can certainly be part of the sustainability solution. There's certainly a wonderful buffer for the folks of Newport, but you know we're not talking 100 years out for sea level rise. We're really talking some impacts that in the next 50 years we will be thinking of things very differently. The coastline may be in a different place in parts of Newport.
Even something as simple as freezing nights. Currently, there are 111 nights below freezing, and it's projected that there will only be 49 nights. So that does plants, trees, that affects everything.
Well, you know, we're really coping with lots of changes in pest outbreaks. We've got some diseases that we're losing our English elms in the city, and we don't know why. Seems to be a new virulent disease. We're all worried about what's happening with these winter moths we're seeing everywhere. So it's a complicated system, and as you change an input as important as you know the temperature, it has cascading effect all over our community and our environment.
And we go from climate change and the open space partnership and program to an issue that is dealing with somebody in the North End every single day. Jessica was bringing up during the break that there are people expressing that if they don't have a car from the North in the North End, they can't safely get to the beach. Or you guys were mentioning as well that, you know, they don't have public access to water.
Right.
So
right.
How do we change that, or, you know, what kind of opportunities do we have there?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think that's one of the things that really stood out to us is you know, how much, you know, we're an island and folks in the North End can see the water, but getting to it is a challenge. So I think that's another case, whether it's the first mile or better sidewalks down the coastline connecting into the Harbor Walk. We've got some great assets nearby, whether it's all the parks along Washington Street. Certainly, I would love to see that beautiful open land in front of the Navy hospital site turned into a park that could serve the North End, and I hope that'll happen. So it's going to be a combination of capturing some new spaces and dedicating them for open space, improving bike and pedestrian transportation. Jessica was mentioning how great it would be if we had a way for people to regularly get down to the beach or the Cliff Walk from a bus from the North End. So that type of, you know, we'd love to capture more people as they come off the bridge, leave the cars at the bridge, and have a viable pedestrian and bike and bus transportation for the system.
And that question came up, you just reminded me, on Monday when I had Evan Smith from Discover Newport in here, with the proposed plans of the end of the bridge there. Would it be viable and would it be a good idea to have more park and then get pedicabs or bikes or whatever it may be, maybe a bike trail right there at the end of the bridge?
Sure.
It sounds like you are all for that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we should have a whole row of, working with Bike Newport, a whole row of bikes that people can rent right there and bike right down to the beach or Cliff Walk and park the bike, and someone else can take it from there. So whether it's bike sharing or buses or, you know, it's a beautiful walk along the shore along Washington Street, just encouraging people to stroll into the city and enjoy our gorgeous colonial architecture at the same time they're enjoying the shorefront.
One of the things that I think, whether it's related to open space but or other aspects of health, we ask folks a question around what is preventing you from being as healthy as you want to be. just a very broad question, and transportation comes up every single time. And so it's not having a bus to go to the Y. There's not a bus that goes down Valley Road. DHS, the Department of Human Services, is on Valley Road. Child and Family Services is on Valley Road. The YMCA Wow. is on Valley Road. And then the beach is at the end of Valley Road. And so there's all of these services and resources that, if you have a car, are easy to access. But we have a lot of folks who don't have cars, who need to rely on the bus. And it isn't even a matter, then you get into buses running on time, and that's a whole other thing. But, I mean, this is like, there just simply isn't a bus.
So do you take the results and the feedback you're getting and go back to the bus companies? I mean, are you going to take your results and try to change their routes or give them this for information?
Yeah, so our next step is, there's a few. In part, we're partnering with these existing projects. So we know the open space and the comprehensive plan are happening, these planning processes. So we were going to share as much information as we can so that we make sure that the residents in these two neighborhoods, their voice is as present as possible. The other thing is, in early February, and we will be sure to publicize this to folks, we actually are going to invite the community in to hear all the data we collected and begin the process with us of brainstorming solutions. So we really want the community, the residents living in these neighborhoods, to have the ability to prioritize with us, you know, what needs to be at the top of the list, and then also what are some ideas. And so we imagine we'll split it into two things. One is basically, what are the things that are longer term that we need to work with the city on or that go into bigger plans? And then what are some early action projects that we might be able to fund through our funding or with our partners that okay. will get things rolling more quickly?
Excellent. So we are going to take a break. This has been great, and I can't thank you guys enough for being here. When we come back, we'll wrap this up somehow in just a couple minutes here. We'll wrap this up. And we'll tell you where to find the survey, find out much more information about what they're doing after the survey. Stay tuned here to the Open Forum.
As the all-important holiday season approaches, remember to think, shop, and buy local.
Becky's Barbecue East Main Road Middletown serves authentic southeastern pit barbecue. Spice up your holiday party with affordable catering from Becky's. Too tired or too busy to cook? Get dinner to go. Need a gift that's sure to please? Gift certificates available.
Remember, your purchase does make a difference in the local economy. Think, shop, and buy local this holiday season.
An absolutely perfect idea for your holiday season. Spring Street Bookstore, Newport County's only new and used bookstore. And why not give used books a second chance? Classics of all kinds, everywhere you turn. Stop by anytime or visit their website, springstreetbooksri.com. For lasting, meaningful gifts, wander through the store, including their extensive children's section, where you discover a large selection of Usborne books and much more. To order online, springstreetbooksri.com. Their helpful lookup service can be invaluable in finding specific books. Spring Street Bookstore offers gift certificates, gift wrapping, worldwide shipping, and a 10% discount for Salve Regina students and for active military. Your angels await. Bob and Mary Angel at Spring Street Bookstore, 42 Spring Street, Newport. Open daily 10 to 5, Sundays 10 to 3. Phone 619-3323. Email Bob and Mary at spring42@cox.net or visit springstreetbooksri.com.
Music is a gift like no other, and right now at Guitar Center, it's your chance to get the best deal of the year. Let our team of expert musicians help you find the perfect instrument and save 20%. For a limited time, spend at least $99 and get 20% off a single item. Visit GuitarCenter.com to get your coupon, save 20%, and give them their favorite gift this year. Don't miss our best coupon offer ever, right now at Guitar Center. Exclusions and limitations apply. See GuitarCenter.com for details.
Welcome back, Open Forum, here on December 17th. 53 degrees, rainy, evening rain heavy at times, followed by a passing shower is expected tonight. Only 8 days left for Christmas shopping, holiday shopping. Well, I guess it's Christmas shopping if there's 8 days left. I'm defining what day. But we have been joined by Scott Wheeler from the city of Newport, and he is building ground supervisor. I have to read it every time because there's so many words. I'm very short-sighted. And then we have Jessica Walsh, and the easy one is just saying you're from the Newport Health Equity Zone, if that's all right.
Sure.
We've been talking a lot. Let's touch base quickly here. Of Scott, where do people go for more information on the Newport Open Space and where to take the survey? They have to take it by tomorrow if they want their feedback.
Sure. So the same site that where they'll find this survey, newportopenspace.org, has background on the project, information about the first public meeting that we had at Pell that was tremendously well attended. We really did a great job filling up the cafeteria at Pell, and I think everyone that left that felt energized about the process going forward.
And after the survey's over, there is going to be a public meeting in January.
Yes, yes. And just like, you know, we want the people that came out to sort of kick the process off to come out and come again, but we're really looking to get more people to come, more people from the North End, more young people involved. We really want this to be everyone's plan. You know, There's we greatly appreciate all the partners and the people that come out regularly to public meetings, but this is something special. This is really going to be setting a vision for a long time, and it's a wonderful opportunity. If people take the time to come to speak out, and there will be opportunities even at the 28th, I'm sure, I've been assured, to give feedback even then. You know, people will listen if you take the time to speak out.
And then, Jessica, how about you? Where can people go for more information and to get involved?
Sure. So we have a website, newporthealthequity.com. And on the website, folks can take the survey. We also have a really active blog there. So we have residents posting various things about their involvement there. So it's a great way just to stay up to date on the project. They can also like us on Facebook, and we are trying to stay really on top of that and keeping the process as transparent with the community as possible.
And the surveys end, and there's a meeting in January. Are there going to be future ways for citizens or people who love Newport to get involved in either project?
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a collaborative process, and it really never stops. I mean, you know, my information is all the City of Newport website. I'm out there. All of our partners, whether it's the Newport Tree and Open. The Newport Tree and Open Space Commission.
Yeah, see, it's not
Tree
as easy
Society.
As you thought,
oh,
huh?
Oh, my God. Did I tell you I'm also the mosquito abatement coordinator? We got lots of time.
Wow, look at that.
So we're really working with, you know, across the spectrum with community organizations. So this isn't a one-time thing. We want people's involvement. You know, it's not going to be just a plan you do and walk away from. There's going to be a long implementation for both of these projects. And so the public, you know, nothing is going to happen without people caring about our open space and parks and caring about health of our population. So, you know, we really are, no one's going to do it for us. We've all got to lend a hand.
And Jessica, the Newport Health Equity Zone is a partnership, and is it around for 5 years, did I read?
4 years.
4 years.
So we have, we're 3/4 of the way through the first year,
okay.
So we know it will be for at least 4 years. And our goal really is the entire project is resident-driven, and so we really view ourselves as facilitators of this process, not as leaders. And so there will be continual ways for residents to become involved and to not only provide feedback but become really active participants in guiding and leading the work. So if folks can just stay up to date with us on the website, be in touch, follow us on Facebook, and we really, really, our goal is that by halfway through the project, 50% of the planning board is residents. I mean, we really have a lot of high goals in terms of we want residents making the decisions because they're the folks who are going to be most impacted by the results.
Great. And we talked a lot about the opportunities. Let's spend a couple minutes here talking about some of the things that we're doing right, the feedback that you're hearing out there, you know, or from the results of the professional survey. You know, what are we as Newport doing right, or what are you hearing from this is an opportunity, Scott, for you to pat yourself on the back.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I beat you up the entire show.
Sure.
So now it's,
sure.
And then we'll talk about mosquitoes next show.
Well, I mean, it's plenty of things doing wrong with mosquitoes. You know, what's really obvious in the results of the survey is people are really enjoying a lot of our key open spaces. There's places that people absolutely love. We were talking earlier about Stora Park, where this little park that people swim at and they fish and they play basketball. And so there are a lot of parks that people passionately care about, which feels great. Often the ones that they like the most, they find the most problems with, because it's a sign of caring. So that's when people criticize, I just take it as caring.
And I love your story about the cliff walk and the sidewalks up there. About when you put sidewalks, because everybody was parking so far on the left and right.
Oh, sure. Well, there's a case of a place that's just loved to death. No, we working very close with the city and the Cliff Walk Commission. We're getting all of these people that were parking and they were pulling up on the roadside and turning the roadside into mud, and they would, in their effort to get off the road, forcing all the pedestrians to walk down the middle of the street. So we had this beautiful, long, scenic walk, and we're forcing people to walk down the center lane of traffic. So the new Cliff Walk restrooms, I think they're the busiest restrooms in the it's probably a flush every 30 seconds. But they're working well, and they're well appreciated, is what the visitors are telling me.
Jessica, what do you have for some positive feedback that you guys have heard? I love that the kids want more places to play outside, and it doesn't have to have Wi-Fi or have a internet connection.
Yeah, I think that's really the really exciting thing is that folks really want to be engaged, whether it's in the parks or even if it's inside. They want to be physically active. They want opportunities to be healthy. Also want opportunities to get to know their neighbors and come together as a community. And we hear a lot of good things about partners where, oh, well, you can get a bike from Bike Newport if you need one. Or so we hear sort of we have partners on the project that we are excited to hear the community. There's probably ways in which more folks could know about it. Absolutely. But whenever somebody says, well, I don't have a bike, almost always somebody says, well, you could go to Bike Newport and they'll, like, you can earn a bike. And so there are these ways in which we see the residents, or they need to know something about childcare, and they're like, well, you should just call the MLK, and, you know, they can help you figure that out. And so we're hearing that there are definitely a lot of programs and services that are working and that people are really excited about, and that folks just really want to build on those things.
That's excellent. Awesome. And I'm going to post both of your surveys on my Facebook page. People can like Ryan Belmore. It's a public page on Facebook. It carries what I'm doing here as well as on whatsupnoop.com. And it's Scott, in just about a minute or less, can you give me a little update on how City Hall over there is looking?
It's going well. We're glad to have sort of the painting and the masonry work done, and if folks sort of glimpse between the middle school and the and City Hall, they'll see the elevator addition quickly going up. So if this weather continues and we have the never-ending spring, we'll be in great shape. But I'm feeling confident that we'll be having the City Council back in meeting in City Hall before you know it. And it'll be wonderful to have a modern elevator that runs up and down City Hall.
Would you imagine that? It's only 2015, but I want to thank Scott Wheeler again for coming in. Thank you so much. Today was great. And also, as Jessica, thank you so much for coming in. And that's going to do it for us today. Joining me tomorrow, I will be joined by Michael Smith, who is a Republican candidate who ran against Teresa Paiva Weed last election. He will be coming in with Representative Patricia Morgan. I keep forgetting her name. I keep wanting to say Lauren Carson, but it's not. And they will be talking about the governor's proposed truck toll plan, and as well as the Newport anti-toll campaign. Should be an interesting conversation. We're already talking anti-tolls. We're already talking about elections. And we will touch base on that and a whole lot more. You can catch the podcast if you missed any part of this show on WADK.com. And you can also check out the links for the surveys. I will post them on my Facebook page, on Ryan Belmore on Facebook. And again, NewportOpenSpace.org. And Jess, one more time?
NewportHealthEquity.com.
That's going to do it for us. We will catch you tomorrow.